Good morning and welcome. This is Microsoft Virtual Academy. My name is Jerry Nixon. I'm here with Darren May. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Jerry.
This is the third day of three, the first day being Foundations of C#, the second being part one of building apps, Windows 8 store apps with XAML. Today is the part two, advanced XAML building Windows store apps. I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
All right. So let's go through kind of what's going to be happening.
So,
Microsoft Developer Evangelist. I live in Colorado and like to talk about Windows 8, like to talk about Windows Phone. What about you?
I'm president and co-founder of Crank211, a software company that likes building next-level digital experiences, and we love Windows 8.
All right, I'm going to take a breath here.
You
We're
take a breath?
Just a minute or two behind. We're going to be right back on schedule. This is beautiful.
All Absolutely. Right. So, the agenda for the day. Basically, there's four sessions that we're going to be presenting on today. We're going to be starting off with animations. We're going to be running through responsive design, branding, reusable controls. In the second half, Jerry?
We'll be talking about all the contracts inside Windows 8. There's so many, we had to break it into two different modules. We'll be talking about capturing media and interacting with some of the hardware on your device, as well as advanced features. Specifically, we'll be dealing with authentication in SkyDrive.
Absolutely.
That's going to be pretty great. I think it's worth saying, Darren, that we're going to be talking a lot about XAML generally. I mean, there are going to be a lot of Windows 8 things that we talk about, but if you're a developer using XAML, there's a lot to get from this this day.
Absolutely. And we'll also be showing some C# techniques to obviously leverage those features and capabilities of Windows 8 and XAML.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of the asynchronous stuff. We use the technical term.
We also brought Scotty back.
Absolutely.
It's good.
That's all we can say. So setting expectations, as we say, you know, we're really expecting somebody to already have a firm grasp of C#.
Yeah.
Before we're able to do this, we also
if you're a novice developer and you don't even know what XAML is, this is going to be way past where you are right now. You're going to want to.
You probably want to look at our previous session.
Yeah.
That kind of introduces those XAML concepts and so on and so forth, and the session prior to that also introduces C#. So that would be a good foundation to come into this course.
Yep. Now, if you're a super senior developer, this might actually be for you. There's a lot of information here that you could have a lot of experience in both C# and XAML, and you may not be into Windows 8 yet or understand some of the core features. So this is one of the pieces for you where you can come in and really grab a lot. This is probably going to be my favorite of the 3 days we've done.
Yep.
I'm excited to do it because I love XAML. I love talking about it, and I love these advanced features.
Sounding good. So one thing to point out is we have all of the source code for everything that we're going to be showing is available on xaml.coplex.com, along with all of the previous source code that we made available for session one and session two.
Yeah, that's a lot of good material on there too. In fact, you can download that now and you can go hand to hand exactly what we're doing. All the pieces are there. There's a lot of excellent reference material inside those solutions as well. And so when you see us doing it and you wonder if you can screen capture the slide as we're trying to show it or whatever, of course the slides will be available, but this solution will be the best for you.
And actually that probably gives us a good opportunity to perhaps talk about the application we've built, really, that most of the content has been framed around this application.
Yeah. And so instead of having a lot of small demos, this time we're going to have one major demo, one application that has to do with this jumpstart. And in fact, what would be our show without just shouting out to Barry? Hi, Barry.
Great. Woo-hoo!
Glad you're here. Cut to my screen for a second, Barry. I want to show the app that we've built. We called it Jumpstart.
Because we're imaginative.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm going to pull it all in. Let's see. Here we are. There we go. So this is the app. It's a pretty straightforward Windows 8 app. It has all of our jump starts on it, including dev radios that I've done and a Bytes by MSDN that I've done as well, all in one place. It's a video viewer as well. We'll go through the construction of it and all the features. So when I drill in, for example, into an individual course, it shows all the peer courses to it as well, the ability to have notes that are saved up in SkyDrive, as well as the ability to print this information, the ability to pin this to my start screen if I want to. I can use the Play-To contract so that I can play this onto other devices. And we'll go through all the implementation here and how we did it, and then we'll just hand it to you guys so you can disassemble this and use it for your own projects as well. It's a pretty great project.
It's good. It shows an awful lot of the techniques that are very, very useful in building these type of applications.
We've been working on it for 2 years now, right?
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
It was actually before the first build.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a good solid, week and a half?
Yeah, if that, right.
Exactly.
And we'll also be talking about capturing. I mean, every single piece will be in here. And yeah, it's really great. All right, so that's our application. We'll get into that more. What are we talking about now, this hour?
So this hour, we are talking about animations and transitions.
Ah, yeah. That's right. Okay, so, well, let's get started because inside, so Windows 8 is a special environment for a couple of reasons. One of the main reasons is because you have easy access to the GPU, not just for, as we'll see later, for computation, but more specifically for animations and acceleration. So you can write an application that leverages the GPU almost without even knowing you're doing it. In fact, I'd be willing to say a lot of developers use the GPU now for hardware acceleration without realizing that they've done it. And so here we are. We're inside animations, and there's three core pieces that are worth understanding. The first is the idea of transforms. And a transform is certainly nothing new. It's been around for a long time. Maybe new to developers that haven't interacted with animations yet, though. And so transforms, we'll talk about that, custom animations, and the library that comes with Windows 8. And so first, let's go into transforms. If you have the need to move something on the screen, if you have the need to rotate something or make it, or even skew it, transforms are the right way to do it. You know, you might want to be changing the left or maybe changing the top so that you move things around. But the right way to do it is through a translate transform. That's how you move something on the screen. You might want to reorient it so that it's at a 45-degree angle. A transform is the right way. So there are four built-in transforms inside Windows 8 that you can leverage inside your XAML applications. The rotate, scale, skew, and translate. And rotate is what you would expect, Darren. It just allows you to turn on an axis that you are in charge of. You can move it around. You don't have to turn it just in the middle. You can turn it on the side or whatever makes sense to you. And then scale just makes things bigger. Skewed leans something to the side, and then translate, like we said, moves it around. But then we also have perspective transforms.
And so this is kind of like a pseudo 3D transformation, yeah?
Pseudo is the right way to say it. It does have a 3D feel. Certainly not a 3D engine. I think it's okay just to say there is no 3D engine for XAML developers in Windows 8. So when you're looking for some sort of 3D effect, the perspective transform is the way to go. And the projection plane is a pre-built way of interacting with the perspective. You can make your own by using the matrix 2D and basically do all the math yourself. Anyway, it allows you to rotate on all three axes. It makes for a pretty cool effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really does.
Pretty sweet.
Then we were talking about you can move around the offsets or you know where the axis is that you're tilting on. And so this we have three different ones. And the first one is the origin, and the origin is on the element. And It's a grid of 0 to 1.
So the ranges are 0 to 1, 0, 0 being up the top left, 1, 1 being down the bottom right.
Yeah, that's right. And so if you wanted to say 0.5, 0.5, you don't have to know how big your element is.
That's just going to be slap bang in the middle.
Yeah, that's right. It goes ahead and does it. However, if the transform needs to be very, very specific, you can set the center X and the center Y on the transform to the pixel if you need to, right?
Absolutely. And where that would be useful is if you have an irregular shaped object, where the center is something that may not necessarily be mathematically the center of the grid, but more aligned to the image or whatever you're presenting. Maybe it's a complex path or whatever. So that allows you to offset that.
Yeah, and you might need to change it, right? Move that center around because it's something that's spinning in a game or something like that.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, the projection has the same idea, right, with the local and global offsets. Of course, this little graphic on the right is meant to help us describe that. A global offset, right? A global offset is the axis of the screen, and so that allows me to say this is going to be a where its relative position according to where the entire screen.
Yes. So, in effect, the red arrows here are illustrating the axes that's on the screen. And so if we increment the X value, then the object is going to move across to the right as we view it on the screen.
Yeah, I think this is time for a plug for Blend here.
Yeah.
The Visual Studio will allow any developer to type all of this into their XAML. But as far as full access and integration or manipulation of all of these transforms, Blend is really the best way to do it. It's all right there in the UI.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of that is in Visual Studio, so you can do some of the rudimentary pieces in Visual Studio without going to Blend. But as soon as you start getting really sophisticated, there's no easier way than opening up Blend. If you have Visual Studio 2012, which you have to if you're building Windows 8 app, then you already have Blend.
Yes.
So it's not like it's something you have to buy and install.
Yep. And you know, that's a good point. Yeah, the whole Expression Suite has been made available now for developers to leverage. So I know we're going to be touching on a little bit of expression design in a little while, but it's worthwhile bearing in mind that you can go and get those tools now.
Yeah, and they're all free now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's transforms, how you manipulate something. And so let's go into animations. And so animations are how I take a transform and I change it over time. Right? That's the idea. And so there are a lot of animations available to me, and specifically inside Windows 8. If you're a WPF developer, you know there are a lot of animations. There are a few less inside Windows 8, and
yep.
the four core ones are the double animation, which comes up all the time, right? This is me manipulating almost every numeric property.
And that's the key point to bear in mind, is these animation classes are named for the data type that they manipulate on the target object.
That's right.
And so,
if you're changing the background color, don't use a double animation.
I remember the very first time I looked at these things, and I thought double animation meant something that was going to repeat.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, totally.
It's like, what the heck? But yes, it's the target type. So double targets a double value. Point, you get the picture.
Yeah, and almost everything is a double value. I mean, if you needed to manipulate the canvas.left, that's a double, and you can use double animation to do that. If you needed to change the transform of translate x, right, that's a double value. This is how you would manipulate it here. Again, back to Blend. Blend really gets this done for you without you having to think about
exactly.
it. It'll put together, you don't even know you're using a double animation when you are doing it through Blend.
Yeah. The strangest one of these four is actually the object animation.
Yeah.
It's, you think, what the heck's object animation? But it's effectively, it's for attached properties.
Oh, here's a quiz for you. What type of property can I animate? Any property?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Dependency properties only.
Only dependency properties. And if anybody's wondering what a dependency property is, go watch our previous session.
Exactly. We waxed lyrical upon that. Wasn't that a tease?
It's a common mistake for developers to try and animate something that is not animatable because they don't recognize that that property is not a dependency property. Most properties on a control, honestly, are dependency properties. Mm-hmm. You can do most things can
typically
be
you trip over this if you're creating your own user control and you create a CLR property on there and you try and do some animations and you're like, what the heck? It's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And that's what's going
on. And there's no error message, right? Yeah. It just doesn't work at all.
It just fails silently.
It would be cool if it said, you're stupid. That'd be cool.
Yeah. You're used to seeing that, though, aren't you?
So, I would be bored with click, do not show this again.
Exactly.
Tired of that.
Turned off.
All right, so animations, for the most part, are linear operations. Gets us from one point to another. Mm-hmm. You can see the syntax down there at the bottom. For a double animation, you basically are saying from and two, and so we're saying from 1.0 to 0.0. We know that there are lots of points in between. The animation handles all of that computation to figure out what those small points are in between based on the duration I tell it to go. But sometimes linear is a little robotic, right? It doesn't look fluid. It doesn't look good. And so that's the reason we have easing functions.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on something that we waxed lyrical upon in, I think, the first module of the previous session, which was really trying to make your applications alive, really leveraging what the platform gives you to create this experience that is fun and engaging.
Yeah.
And to your point, just the gradual slides in of a lot of these linear animations just doesn't feel real. It helps us tell a better story, I think, with the end.
Yeah, I mean, in an exaggerated sense, it's kind of a bounce, or bong, things like that you want to accomplish. But sometimes it's just an ease in, right? Instead of here to there, it's here to there, right?
Exactly.
And that's nice, right? Mm-hmm. Users can feel that subtle difference. How do you do it? An animation has a property of the easing function, and you pass in any of these are nine easing functions, but we know, or actually these are three. And there are many more, right?
Yes.
There's a long list of them. And some of them are very subtle, like the difference between one and another. It's very subtle. But sometimes it just fits the scenario you're
in. Just gives you the effect.
And there's this ease in and out. So it's when the animation begins, you might want that kind of slow, and then it goes back.
Yeah.
Maybe it's at the end, or maybe both, and it does that for you.
Yeah, you know, and you can mix and match them as well.
And you can mix and match them as well. That's exactly right, because you may want a different in than out.
Yep.
Okay, so we were talking about dependency properties. We're talking about animation. And the power around animation in Windows 8 is that I can leverage the GPU. So we have two processors in our devices now, right? We have the CPU processor, which handles the UI thread. We're used to being on that. We're not used to being on the GPU to offload a lot of the work. But we have this property called enable dependent animations. And that really is the difference between showing us the difference between dependent animations and independent animations.
Mm-hmm.
What's an independent animation?
It's a damn good question that I'm sure you're about to answer.
You're stupid. So an independent animation is an animation that runs on the GPU, right? This is our goal. We want an independent. We want it to run independently of the UI thread. And so if you're building your application, what's great is back to Blend, right? I'm doing all my animations inside Blend. As it memorizes whatever it is I'm doing or records what I'm doing, all of a sudden I get this box that pops up. And it says, the operation that you just asked me to do causes this to be a dependent operation instead of independent. That's the warning that I just moved into.
By default, dependent animations aren't supported. So that to really try and not break that fluid experience, because it's all about, you know, all our devices, to a greater or lesser extent, are resource constrained. And as you mentioned, you know, we want to offload to the GPU, so our CPU and our primary rendering thread in our application is free to make everything as fluid and as responsive as we want it to be. GPU's sitting there, let's put that stuff on there. And so that's why, by default, dependent operations are not supported.
Yeah, well, that's the key thing. So here's another thing that catches a developer off guard. So they go in and they do everything right. Look, I'm doing it on a dependency property. I'm doing it exactly the way Jerry and Darren said to do it, and it's still not working correctly.
Yeah.
And it might be because what you're trying to manipulate is a dependent operation, which is defaulted off, so your animation fails, it just doesn't run. That's where the property enable dependent animations comes in. That's on the storyboard. You set that to true and it'll start to work.
Yeah.
This is us saying enable dependent animations, basically saying, I realize this animation is a bad idea.
Yep.
It's okay.
Exactly.
Sometimes it is.
And I mean, that's really the big advantage of using Blend in this scenario, is because it expressly warns you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And it allows you to quickly set the override for it and not kill yourself with it.
And so, I mean, we listed out the criteria there that really determined whether it was independent or not. So, you know, duration for 0 seconds is one of the key things that will offload it onto the GPU.
Yeah, of course, anything that happens immediately.
Exactly.
That does seem easy.
You know? Opacity is another that if you're just varying the opacity, the GPU can do that, no problem whatsoever. Away it goes.
People don't realize how powerful their GPU really is.
Well, yeah. And we actually have a little interesting demo later on in the day that really kind of shows how those things kick butt.
It's pretty awesome.
You know, anything that targets the transformation, such as a transform, projection, clip, and so on and so forth, that's all can be offloaded to the GPU. Now, one of the interesting things is we pointed out before about the object animation property and how that was a little unusual. And one of the reasons it's there is to support the ability to be able to animate canvas left and canvas top.
Yeah.
You know, and those are really useful if you want to be creating sprites or whatever in the XAML space and you want to fly those things around canvas. You want to be able to offload those transitions onto the GPU.
Earlier you said object animations are for attached properties. I can create an attached property.
Correct.
However,
the object animation currently will only support the built-in attached properties.
Right. For whatever reason, that's the way it is.
Yeah. I suspect it's something related to how those attached properties are projected.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Okay, so let me show you something cool, since we're talking about animations. So I have Design open, you know, that we were talking about expression and how you can get all of these tools now really easily and free.
Absolutely.
And so Design is one of those.
Are you a designer, Jerry?
I am, I'm kind of like an armchair designer. I don't design armchairs. Yeah. It's more like the armchair sleuth.
Okay.
And so, no, is I guess, I hate to say it, I everybody thinks they're a designer.
Exactly. Everybody thinks they're a designer. Very few people are.
Yeah, yeah. So let me, I'm going to pull back. Let's see. This is from our demo last time. Remember that little swirl?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was pretty cool. Was if you missed cool. out on that last time,
yeah,
you missed out.
That was foreshadowing there. Foreshadowing for the past.
All right, so I've drawn a little box here, and then I've put a diamond in it. I'm going to try and create, if it's okay with you, a playing card. I love that. And it never can go wrong. There's absolutely nothing that could go wrong with this.
What could possibly go wrong?
We will
wrong?
Make this a four of, we'll make it a little bit bigger. And look, I'm already farther along than I thought I'd ever be. Good. This is great.
Yeah, it almost looks like a playing card.
Yeah, it does have kind of have a playing card.
Yeah, well, all that's missing is the inverted four of diamond.
Let me redify like so. Bam. Cool. Now that looks like a real.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's neat right there. All right, so I'll bring this down. I'll group it real quick, and then I'll do a quick little turnaround. Then this one, and then one more. I love using this tool. It's just really great. All right, so there's my card. Now, I created this
card. And now
card.
Our work here is done.
Yeah, this is it. What does this have to do with animations?
I don't know.
It's fascinating. All right, so let me. I'm going to pull up Visual Studio, and we're going to open up, start a new project together. So let me say, actually, I don't want to take the one I've got here. I want to open up a new one. I'll say File, New Project. It's going to be a blank Windows Store project, just so we can kind of show off some of these things. And so inside Main Page, I'm going to drop in our card.
Okay. And how are you going to do that? It's in a designer.
Yeah, no doubt. So I'll go here. I'll select the whole thing, and I will say Copy as XAML.
That's neat, XAML, isn't it? That is neat.
Yeah, it's neat. It's not the only tool that can do it, but this is one of them. And one of the reasons I like doing it. I mean, this is not a difficult thing to do, what I just drew. But at the same time, it would have taken time. I mean, as slow as it was for me to do it, it would have taken three times.
Well, let's see what the XAML is, and we can see, you know, let's see how good you are at typing numbers.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so here it is on my canvas. Very cool. I love that. I love it. All right, so you can see it's just this long canvas here inside the grid. So I'm going to do the same thing. Now I'm going to create a background.
Okay.
Is that all right with you?
Yep, go for it.
All right, so to make this demo go nice and quickly, and to not overdo it, I'll just change the background color of this to orange. You know what? Let's just make it sort of interesting. I'll create a few of these. We'll make this one orange, and this one orange. There, it's a little bit.
Thus evidencing that you are, in fact, not a designer.
I knew you'd say that. Look, I'm going to tilt it.
Oh,
if I had a blink tag, I'd take it right now. All right, so. All right, copy XAML. Now I'm going to paste this right on top of it. And or you won't see it because it's under it. So let me undo that, and I'll put it under, just so you can see that it's also there. It'll be in the same location. And now I want to use animations to make it look like that card is flipping over. That's what I want to do. And so we'll start with the back being visible like that. Actually, is perfect. Now, we were talking about using Blend, so I'll go ahead and say Open in Blend. All you have to do is right-click a XAML file in Visual Studio and say Open in Blend. It'll automatically open Blend. It'll pass the entire solution and its projects. You're not just opening a file in a special editor. You're really opening up the entire project. That's because some of the things you might need to do are project-wide. You know, you might need to change scope. All right, so now I have this objects in timeline, so I'm going to say new over here, and I'll just create a new storyboard. So that's my ability to start a storyboard. Yeah. A storyboard
is basically grouping animations.
It really is. In fact, let me. I'm going to go back and make sure I thought I had a little thing on storyboard, so good, no problem, that's all right. Maybe it was because I knew we'd talk about it.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah, it's just a container for different animations, and so you can tell the entire storyboard to start playing, and many animations begin to play on their own. In fact, you can't have an animation without a storyboard.
Correct.
Right? It's the starting point. And so you can see it's outlined in red. The red basically means that it's listening so that it can record or memorize what I'm doing. And this is the timeline over here on the left. And so right now I started 0 seconds, and I can go all the way to one. And so if I go to, if I started, let's say I want to flip it. So I'll start at this first point, And what I'll do is, before anything begins, I want to make sure that everything's set up properly. Okay, it is. All right, so we'll say like in a half a second, the back, so see how it's selected the back for me, is going to flip to the left a little bit. And so the properties of the control are over here on the right. And I can go down to transforms. And here in the transforms, I can see the projection is set right here. The first tab, second tab, third tab, fourth. The first tab is the rotation. This is really where all the magic happens, where the X, Y, and Z axes are all at my disposal. All I care about really is the Y. And so watch, I'll grab this and I'll turn it. See, it already starts to look like it is flipping. Very, very cool. And kind of fun, but almost useless because it's so inaccurate, but definitely fun, is grabbing this little piece right here, this little planet-looking thing, so that I can move everything around at once and kind of get a feel for it. A lot of power. You know, it's not a 3D engine, but
yeah,
gives you some good feelings, you know? No mm-hmm. doubt it does. And so what I really want to do is I want to take the back and just kind of move it to... Oh, I'm translating it instead. Here we go. Here's why. So I want to make it so that it begins its rotation. And so I'll take it to 90 degrees. So it's, you can see the problem already, and that is the card underneath is visible, right? I mean, mm-hmm. since these are supposed to be the same card, there's a real problem here. So I'll go back to the 0 second, and what I'll do is I'll take the under, the layer under it, that's going to be the top card, right?
So over in the left-hand side, you're able to directly manipulate the timeline and see all of the key frames almost of the animation that the system is projecting for you and calculating from your
Yeah, 100%
points.
Right. That little egg basically represents some sort of animation was triggered at that point. Mm-hmm. And so in this case, what's happening is I'm bringing the card up to meet it, but I'm doing it at the 0 second, so it happens so fast that nobody sees this animation. Mm-hmm. It's instantaneous. And all I really want to do is now bring that back down. Right. So now,
so the key things right now is we're doing some transforms.
All of these are transforms, so all of these are accelerated. And, I mean, the accelerated is an aside now because we could just accept it, and that's yep. the way it is. But all of these are handled with transforms. There's no manipulation of an object like this that you can do without transforms. Mm-hmm. And really, I don't know how you would accomplish it. I mean, there's no way to... I mean, you'd have to write every bitmap on your own.
Exactly. I mean, effectively, you'd be just changing properties directly without using the animations.
Now, usually in a project, you know, you would run it to see how it looks, but yep. since I'm in Blend, I can preview these animations. You can kind of see, there it is right there. And since the animation of the under of the face of the card is so fast, you don't see it occur.
Excellent.
And so here it is. We're halfway there. The next step.
Of course, you could also animate the visibility.
I could absolutely. Now, that would be a keyframe animation because the difference between visible and collapsed is not, there is nothing
yeah,
in between.
It's Boolean values effectively.
Yeah, and so that's the reason keyframes exist. In fact, we showed all the animations. We didn't really talk about that little keyframes
yes.
after it. And the reason you do that is you may need to change a double property using a keyframe from 1 to 0, and you don't want anything in between.
Yep, no graduation.
That is not an animation, I suppose, technically, you know what I mean? Because you're not animating anything. But you need to have it inside your storyboard so all the timings happen.
Correct.
And so that's what's going on there. And so, yeah, I'm glad we caught that because keyframes are an important part of changing stuff. And, mm-hmm. and we'll talk about that later when we're talking about snap view.
Yeah.
And talk about visual states inside inside XAML because we have there are many times you have to use a keyframe. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to jump to a second. So we'll make this a full second animation. The half second brings the back of the card to this position. And we'll make the full second then bring the front of the card to back to 0, right? And so we'll go
yep.
just like this. There we go.
Yep.
And it's coming back down, almost there. I could just type in 0, but I'm rolling my mouse instead. Very nice.
Yep. And the nice thing about that is it allows you to see the direction that your pane is moving. And because it's quite easy to sometimes put the animation in the wrong direction, and then when you play it all together, it looks like a mess.
It does. No, you're absolutely right. All right. So we talked about how the animation automatically generates all of the numbers in that linear distance, you know, between whatever you're starting at, whatever you're ending at. And so now I've created an animation that starts at 0 and sets the rotation Y to 90 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and then goes all the way back to 0. But because it's at 0 degrees, because it starts at the zero time position, it's the entire animation. So here, take a look at this. You can see why it's wrong. See that? So
yep.
It's because it's animating all the way back from the beginning.
So you need to move the stop point.
So we need to move the start point. And we need to go to what you were talking about, too. But anyway, yes, we need to move the start point. So here we are. I can take it and just drag it, which is pretty nifty. Right? So now they're matching. Right? Still not what I want. And the reason it's not what I want is because now I need to use your visibility. Right? Because
yes.
Now I need to say, okay, I can't just move things around. I need to make sure that I understand the timing because there's some complicated math going on behind the scenes. What I'll do is I'll go to the zero position. And all I have to say is that under layer needs to be hidden, so it allows for it to move into position. And so I'll go ahead and hide it, and I'll change it. So again, since it's outlined in red here, it records all of my actions. And so I'll say, now it's collapsed, that's hidden. And then at the beginning point here, now I change it to back to visible, right? Here's visible. All right. I'm nervous. Is this going to work?
I have no idea.
Oh, why am I nervous when it's beautiful?
Exactly.
I mean, the reality is there's quite a bit there. If we were to jump to the XAML, which I'm happy to do here now, this is the animation itself. You could have typed that by hand. You could have typed it by hand, probably quicker than I could have done it in Blend. But the average developer, Darren?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
They can't all crank it to 11.
They weren't all blessed with 15 fingers.
No. And so Blend saves not only a lot of time, but a lot of accuracy, allows you to preview it without having to run it as well. That, I mean, if you think about it, you could build this. Anybody could build this. It took me 10 minutes to put it together. The average developer, it might take 9 minutes instead. But nonetheless, you can add this sort of kind of nice visual catchiness to your application.
So how would you actually play trigger this through code now? Now we've got the animation in there.
Well, that's a great point. I'm going to go ahead and save this, and then I'm going to go back to Visual Studio and show you, because I think it's worth... All right, so it prompts me to reload. I'll say yes to all of that. And so here it is, exactly the same XAML. Nothing changed. It just reloaded in this page. And I put it in Storyboard 1, because naming conventions are important.
They are important. And Storyboard 1?
Is awesome.
It's certainly the first storyboard.
Yeah, yeah. So, you interact with the storyboard directly, right? So if I was in the loaded event, let's say, then I could say storyboard1.begin. And so there's a couple things here.
Mm-hmm.
So the animation itself already knows its timing or its duration, right? It's already set up. If I were to look at the XAML, I could see that the duration is 0:0:0.1, right? We know that last one is the seconds.
Because we often need animations that are going to last days.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's on the GPU, so it's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it is crazy. No. 0.5, not 0.1. So it's half of a second. And you can see that it goes to, in this case, it's going to that 90-degree mark. And here you can see that it's animating back to 0.2. I actually missed it, or -2 instead of 0.
Oh, you overshot.
So sometimes it does come back. It is good to tweak it by hand, you know, to get it just right.
Well, and also, because you were using the mouse wheel, and the mouse wheel isn't the best thing for setting precise animation points, and so you'd have typed 0 in the
I probably
blend
would have,
itself.
Right. You roll it around when you're trying to see what it looks like, and then you want to set it precisely. And so when I'm about to interact with in fact, let me go back again. Check this out. So we were talking about visibility and using keyframes. And so here's discrete object keyframe is the type of animation. And you can see it's setting it directly to collapse. And here I'm setting it directly to visible. That's pretty neat.
It is.
Yeah. And anyway, so on the code behind, now I can interact directly with the storyboard. It talks to all the animations for me, obeying all the begin times, obeying all the durations.
The storyboard owns the timeline. Fundamentally.
Hmm.
And it's pushing that timeline into all of the animations so that it understands what's going on.
That's right. And so I can set it to begin right here, and then I can pause it. You know, if it is long, I can pause it, I can restart it, I can stop it if I want to. I can also set it whether or not it auto reverses, which is dazzling to look at sometimes, right? Because it does whatever and then it does it in reverse.
Yep.
Or if it repeats, sometimes you need that. You have something spinning or a clock or something, you know, who knows what it is.
Yep.
And you don't want it to end, you want that animation.
So the
to go.
Interesting thing with the repeat behavior is, if you've got a duration of, say, 10 seconds on the overall animation, but you have individual animations that are 2 seconds, it'll actually repeat the animation 5 times.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you look at the data type of repeat behavior, it is a It is a timeline, right? And you can, there is a constant where you can say forever.
Forever.
But yeah, that's right. Otherwise, you say, yeah, just like what you said, you want the animation to only occur for 30 seconds, regardless of whatever the animations are doing.
Yeah.
And so it keeps on going until it
hits
30
seconds. And
so
the handy thing about that is, you know, say you want to create a really annoying UI element that pulses. Instead of having to create all of the animations for 30 seconds to keep pulsing, you can create a single pulse animation and then have the repeat for 30 seconds, and it'll go through and pulse that for 30 seconds.
Yeah. That's not annoying. That's awesome.
Once again, evidencing your numbers.
Here, so let me, I'll run this so you can have a look. It's going to be dazzling. Then it should, hopefully it'll look exactly like it did in Blend, right? We'll start, there it was.
Oh, there it is.
What do you think of that?
That was incredible.
Oh, dazzling. All right, so custom animations are easy to add. You can that was on the GPU, and the reason we know it was on GPU is because Blend didn't warn us, but we can also I also know that I'm doing everything correctly.
And we didn't have to set any flag to say enable dependent animation.
Right. And so to have a flat application that doesn't have any animations is really a waste. Your GPU can do it.
Yep.
It's not burdening the GPU, and it adds to the
UI. And the GPU likes to work.
From a guideline point of view, though, there are a couple things, right?
Yes.
Animations, especially for navigation purposes and interacting with the user, should not be long animations, right? Mm-hmm. They need to be quick animations so the user feels they're interacting and touching your app. At the same time, a complex animation might be worth it for the UI, your experience, but that repeat forever is a dangerous thing. It can really cause your application to be a drag. You know, as soon as it just goes and goes and goes and goes, you will start to notice it as you're trying to interact with it because it's just nonstop.
And
so
again,
that repeat forever is
dangerous. These are things that you need to think about. When we're running on our desktop, we're not necessarily worried about power and so on, you know, battery life and those kind of things. Once we start working on the more resource-constrained devices such as Surface and so on and so forth, we want to be cognizant of the fact that we don't want to constantly be draining power doing all of these things.
Yeah, that's right. Animations are to add to the experience, not to kill the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that's fair. I mean, back to Surface or just the ARM chip, right? If not testing on the ARM chip is a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because even an animation that's really, really beautiful on your desktop might lag a little, and you may need to go in and manually kind of tweak it, maybe pull out a few parts of it.
Especially if you introduce dependent animations.
That's exactly right.
You know, if you introduce dependent animations, make sure you run it across the plethora of platforms that are available so that you know that your experience isn't going to break on those alternate devices.
From a best practices point of view, if you have an animation that is dependent, it causes the entire storyboard to be dependent.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have to do it, it actually makes more sense to have two storyboards that run together.
Mm-hmm.
And because you have to do whatever it is you're doing. Sometimes you can't do that, right?
Yep.
But if you can, to break those apart so that you can keep everything else over on the GPU if you can.
Yeah.
A lot of good advice there. All right. The takeaway is not do animations. They're just great. They're easy.
And
Blend is there.
Fortunately, we have a whole library of animations that are available to us as part of the environment.
That's exactly right. So let's see. So here we are. Animation library inside Windows Runtime. And Windows Runtime gives you a lot. So I think it's important to say, when you're in the Windows environment, the Windows 8 modern environment, there's a lot of animations all over the place.
Yes.
And as you go from app to app to app, they're very consistent. This one looks
there's
good.
There's a whole
this one looks good.
Sort of visual vocabulary that's been established for these applications.
Right. Now, what if you want your app to take advantage of those same ones? That's where the library comes in.
Perfect.
And so there are quite a few transitions, and so transitions are animations, right? And from one point to another. And so there are quite a few transitions that are sort of at your disposal. And in fact, we have a demo. You want to pull up the demo?
Sure. Why not?
So we have, let me go through what these transitions are real quick, and that you can apply these not only to individual elements, but also to child elements inside a repeater or some sort of items control. And so the add and delete, and so you can kind of see this, when you change the content, when it first shows up, when you reorder and when you reposition, all these things, when you do this in one of the native apps, they all look the same. And so these are what you can leverage inside your app. So show me your demo there.
Yeah, so if we look at my nice monochromatic demo, because, again, I'm not a designer either. So what we've got here is a sample that shows the built-in transitions. Mm. What each of these columns represent is actually just a stack panel. So, you know, don't think about this in terms of you can only do these with the complex list controls or templated controls and so on and so forth. These are just a stack panel, and I'll show you the XAML in a second. What we have is add buttons. As the name suggests, we're going to add an item to the stack panel. Mm. And so we're just going to pop it into the child control collection of the stack panel and render it up.
So each of these stack panels in your columns is set with a different transition to
Correct.
Show off what it looks like.
As labeled across. Default not being a transition, right. It's just the lack thereof.
Right, what it looks like.
So if I click add item, we can see they just pop in.
No animation at all. Not bad, but
not bad.
Not elegant.
So the next one is we have an add delete theme transition.
Okay.
And it's cut off and it looks like transistor, but it is actually transition. If we add an item, what we now see is how it pops into view.
Well, that's nice. Slides the other one down.
Exactly. And so we're inserting into index 0 in the child collection, which means it's popping it into the top and pushing those other things down. Now, we're actually doing the same thing here, but you can't tell.
It's just so quick.
It's just so quick. It pops in. But you can see very different. And also, if I remove something, you can see how it animates the other elements around it to fill the gap.
That is nice.
It is very
nice.
Yeah,
it's attractive.
Very slick.
I mean, imagine
it looks
asking
like it
a developer
really
to,
hard
do
to do
that. Yeah, yeah. Wait you know? Till you see how easy it is.
Exactly.
Huh?
So now we've got repositioned.
Well, it would be hard by hand.
Yeah.
Right? To get it
Absolutely.
Just right.
So now if we're adding items, you see how now we almost have a wave effect
oh, yeah,
as we push
cool.
these things down. So you see it moving through. If I get rid of this one, we can see everything wave in. As
yeah, that's
up.
Really nice.
So again, a different effect, something that you may want to introduce.
I like to use this one. You have to be careful. You have too many items in the list that,
yeah.
Like
that
click,
can slow
click
down.
Add really, really fast. It, yeah, they back
yeah,
up.
Yeah, things kind of back up a little bit.
Yeah, it's beautiful, but unless you have a...
Yeah.
This is probably not a common use case.
Exactly. Unless you're an idiot clicking like crazy, you know, I wouldn't recommend this.
Right.
So the next one we have is the Edge UI theme transition. So as the name suggests, something's going to come in from an edge, and you can actually specify which edge.
Left, right.
In. Left, right.
Top, bottom.
Bottom.
Nice.
Yep.
Very nice.
So this is, I believe, is set to right, and so we see these things fly in. And it also, as you can see, pushes down
yeah,
the other
cool.
elements.
Yeah, that's very
so that's
cool.
That's pretty slick.
I like that.
And then the final one we have is the entrance theme transition. So this is commonly used across most of the controls by default, such as your grid view and those kind of things. And it's just a more subtle version
of
this
edge. It's kind
of
like from the edge, but it just floats in
yeah.
instead.
But
yeah.
also there's a very minimal effect for the existing elements. They just automatically push down. There's no timeline on them pushing down. And so it just slides in. So that's the... And as you see, it also doesn't show it flying out, which is contrary to, say, the Edge UI.
Yeah, I can see how. You can overdo animations, so it's
yes.
nice to have options to go to some that are a little leaner, if that's a word.
Exactly. Leaner-ish.
A little more lean.
So, if we look at the...
It's me and Barry. That's what it is.
Exactly. You're the only people who find this amusing. So here we have a stack panel, and we can see... Because stack panel contains children, we can actually apply, there's two types of transitions we can apply. A transition that applies to the stack panel itself.
When the stack panel is shown on the screen.
Exactly.
Because it's already there, so we don't need one for that.
But because it's a container, we can also specify transitions for its children. And
nice.
So we have a collection of these transitions that we can apply. Now this one is default, and as you can see, that means they are not specified.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
It makes perfect sense. This, however, is stack panel with the add delete theme. And as you can see, it is as simple as just adding this XAML.
Oh, I see. And there's no namespace on that XAML. So
it's an inherent part of the platform.
Yeah. Okay, great. And probably to say that is more important to say this is the same transition that these other apps, the native apps, are using.
Exactly.
You get to use them in your app. Not only does that mean it looks the same, but they have been tuned to be very performant.
Exactly. And you're not writing it. It's not running in your UI thread and so on and so forth. It's been transitioned over to the framework. And you can be damn sure that they're accelerated, as you say.
I'll be very sure. And then, the others are the same way. You just pick again
Absolutely.
You know, from it.
Just from these lists.
If you're wondering what you can use, there's autocomplete as well.
Yep.
There's also MSDN, so you can sort of see these. Maybe even more interesting, there's the SDK. If you download the Windows 8 SDK for the animation library, you can see all of the animations in different contexts, and it's nice. We showed animations for items in a repeating control. You can also use the item in the control itself, so it appears that's, if you're showing content on a page and that content kind of eases in. You see that all the time in so many different apps. And you don't have to go figure it out. You don't even have to open Blend, right? You just start going with it from there. So we have the idea of transforms that allow us to do all kinds of pretty complicated business to all the controls in our XAML application. Then we also have this idea of animations and custom animations that we can use Blend or not use Blend to take those transforms as well as other properties and start changing those inside a timeline or a storyboard. Pretty nice. And then when we start to see what animations we like, we have this library we can turn to. A long list of, and we didn't go through half of them, right?
Yeah.
A long list of things that you can add. Not only are they going to be highly performant, but they're also going to help your application blend in with the rest of the ecosystem because it looks correct, right?
Absolutely. You know, and what we want to do is make sure that there isn't a significant learning curve in your application, and as you say, make it just fit in.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes the custom animation is the right way to go. Sometimes the custom animation isn't because you should be using the library so that you kind of fit in. Perfect. Animations.
Animations.
We make it seem so easy.
We do.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, the platform makes it seem so easy.
Yeah, the platform helps. All of the tooling helps. We're going to take a 10-minute break, come back to Module 2. We'll see you in 9 minutes and 58 seconds.